This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at orderzona.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mudin, who's our nutritionist in residence, and we're answering your questions. Questions can come to us via radioprogram@AOL.com. And Layla, what's our next question, please?
We have an email from Paul. Dr. Hoffman, what is your opinion of the Right to Try Act?
Okay. What is the Right to Try Act? The Right to Try Act is a newly passed act, mm-hmm. Which was passed by Congress, basically. It's an initiative by the current administration under the leadership of Scott Gottlieb, mm-hmm. who's a little bit more of a, shall we say, a libertarian FDA commissioner. And what the basic philosophy is, you know, we have a lot of rules, a lot of restrictions, and a lot of bureaucracy. And let's open up the channels for people in desperate circumstances to have access to medications which maybe aren't as rigorously tested and proven efficacious, but under certain circumstances, people faced with fatal diseases could have the right to try.
Yes.
So the organization that I'm part of, I'm actually on the board of this, is the Alliance for Natural Health. And they've been big proponents of that. And the reason for that is that they're all about innovation in medicine, and they're all about patient rights. Mm-hmm. And they want, you know, even if it's a chemo drug or some sort of new immunotherapy, they want people to have an opportunity to try. But they also hope that this opens up the channels for more innovative natural therapies, especially for really life-threatening diseases.
Yes.
You know, cancer, ALS,
yeah.
Alzheimer's, you know, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So they're all for innovation. Now, the counter-argument is actually a kind of a reasonable argument, and it's that why do we want to unleash untested drugs on the desperate? You know, that these people can't, they're not in a position to make rational decisions. They'll go for things that are like, you know, over the top, potentially harmful or dangerous. And why give them false hope? And why make them infect human guinea pigs to test untested products? I see that argument,
yes.
But I also I lean towards the right to try, and I'm glad that this has been approved, and it's kind of an experiment. We'll have to see if people benefit or people come to harm as a result of this new open channel. By the way, it's not a wide open channel. There's still rigorous criteria by which you can even have the right to try. I mean, it's like you don't have the right to try rattlesnake venom for brain cancer,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. You never know.
Now watch. Next week we'll hear about rattlesnake venom.
Exactly. It's, you know, we hear spider venom. Yeah. And, you know, Gila monster venom is actually the basis of many new diabetes drugs.
I tend to think that it's merciful, especially to those who are desperate.
Yeah.
Or if everything else has been tried. I think hope is very important in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the right to try is merciful in that regard.
You know, with fully informed consent, you know,
course.
I don't know what you're getting into.
Absolutely.
And, and the thing is an economic factor is, you know, should the government and Medicare pay for these therapies? Well, many of these therapies are experimental anyway, and many of them are in clinical trials where people don't pay money. And so I'm all for it. And maybe this can advance the science more rapidly.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many impediments. You know, we hear about therapies that sound promising, and then they say, well, it's going to be 5 or 10 years before it's going to be approved because it has to go through such rigorous testing.
Yeah.
And, you know, then On the other hand, we complain about drugs that are released too quickly by the FDA, and then in the aftermarket studies, it turns out they create harm. So it's
Vioxx comes to mind.
Vioxx is a perfect example of that. Yeah. There's so many, many, many examples like that. You know, it looked great in the clinicals. I was even excited about it, and then it's caused many deaths.
Yeah.
So it's off the market.
Okay. Great question, Paul. Thank you very much for that. Yeah. We have two questions, Dr. Hoffman, about the new shingles vaccine. Here's one from Cheryl. Mm-hmm. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, thank you both for all the excellent health information you dispense every week. Mm-hmm. You are loved and appreciated by your listeners. Thank you, Cheryl. Mm. I'd like your opinion on the new shingles vaccine. Is it better than the old one? Do you recommend it? I'm 62-year-old female. I'm in excellent health. I have a good immune system. Do I need to get it? I did have a mild case of chickenpox as a child. And here's one from Randy. I had the original shingles vaccine when I turned 60, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I understand there's a newer, improved vaccine. I had chickenpox when I was a kid.
And by the way, you can take that vaccine even after you've taken the Zostavax vaccine. You could sort of back end your protection by taking a second.
Yeah. So both of these, both of these folks have had chickenpox.
The Shingrix, I think, is a series. I think it's two
or three. Series of vaccines?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So both Cheryl and Randy have had chickenpox as children. They're at risk
for shingles, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, both of these people who emailed us are both 62. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think of the new shingles?
Well, it looks promising.
Okay.
The knock on the other one, and I used to get a lot of questions about Zostavax, is that it's not that effective.
Ah.
There were some limitations to it because it was a live vaccine and that it could actually create more side effects.
Huh.
And in very immunosuppressed people, it could work, and it could cause, an infection.
Yeah.
So I think the new vaccine is just going to clean Zostavax's clock. Zostavax will be superseded by Shingrix. Unless there's some unforeseen problems that develop. And I always say, maybe wait a couple of years before you take a brand new drug, because although it seems very promising, there may be some unforeseen consequences of that medication or that vaccination.
Sure.
But it appears much more effective. Also Zostavax wasn't that good in the elderly, and it's the elderly who are more at risk.
Yeah.
So in, immunodeficient people who were weak, immunocompromised, Zostavax wasn't that effective. In new studies, Shingrix is much more effective.
That's good news.
Yeah.
Right.
So then the question is, should everybody at the age of 50 or 60 or some point, should we all be getting Shingrix? Because, shingles is a bad condition.
Yeah.
And, that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in that position where I have to consider it. I'm 65. I'm going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I may be living in a fool's paradise, but I consider myself in good health and maybe not as vulnerable. But maybe that's a form of denial.
I don't think so, personally, but.
it's always a form of hubris to have a sense of invulnerability.
Yeah,
right.
Prepare for the worst, hope for the best.
Yeah. So it's a good point at which to pause because we usually allow our sponsors an opportunity to share a vital message with you. So here goes. Listen up.
Do you want to manage your blood pressure without medication? I have some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman here to tell you about the Zona Plus. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks. To find out more, go to orderzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or orderzona.com. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation, the Zona Plus, at orderzona.com.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continual free resource to you. So now back to Layla with questions.
We have an email from Michael. Greetings, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. Thank you for an exceptionally informative radio program / podcast. We're getting a lot of compliments today. That's nice.
I mean, look, it's gratifying because we put it out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we love to get feedback because it makes us realize that we may be hitting the mark for some people that
yes.
they find it a useful resource. And that's what this is about.
Mm-hmm. I've read that VSL3 probiotic is most effective compared to others for inflammatory bowel disease and/or irritable bowel syndrome. Have you found it to be effective? Have you used it for your patients?
I use it.
Yes.
You know, and I use some other probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
I use something called SCD probiotic by Claire.
Yeah.
That is also designed for patients who are on the SCD, many of whom have ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease.
Yes. Both inflammatory bowel diseases.
Right.
Yep.
I also use something called Probiotic 225, which is also similar to VSL number 3. It's actually sourced from the same place that VSL number 3 is sourced from
mm-hmm.
in terms of the raw materials.
Interesting.
And it's also a powdered formula, like and very potent.
Yeah.
It's a little pricey, as is VSL number 3, but I think there may be a little bit of a price point to the favor of Probiotic 225. So VSL mm-hmm. number 3 has a great reputation in the colitis community.
Yeah.
And it's one of the ones where there's very limited research on probiotics for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease.
Mm-hmm.
But VSL has shown an advantage, so at least it's backed by science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So have I found it effective?
Yes.
I mean, you know,
I've seen it work very, very well.
But the thing about it is we do mm-hmm. multimodality. We change
we
the
do.
Diet. We use low-dose naltrexone. We use herbs like curcumin. We use lots of fish oil. We
mm-hmm. Anti-inflammatory supplements.
Yeah. So we have a whole mm-hmm. Panoply of things we use. And it's hard, you know, it's not like we say, okay, we're going to do an experiment. We're going to put you on VSL number 3. For 6 months, and if that doesn't work, then we'll do something else. It's like,
no, we do all the things in the arsenal, and many people come out.
Yeah, and that's why it's
well.
Kind of hard,
yeah.
you know, to, I haven't done a lot of research, basic research. I've done more, you know, writing about research rather than doing the actual sitting there and compiling data and doing an experiment with my patients, because I feel it's in a way, it's not fair to subject them to a single ingredient trial.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, let's try this. Oh, no, now let's try this. Michael, thank you for your question. All right. VSL3. Now, we've got an email from Frank. Hi, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. What should I do to minimize or reverse risks associated with plaque in my coronary arteries? Frank is 84 years old. He has a calcium of score of 413.
Okay.
He was pre-diabetic.
So to situate that a little bit.
Yeah.
That is probably,
I
would venture to say it's about an average score for an 84-year-old.
Okay.
There's a way to calculate that.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at what's called the MESA table, M-E-S-A.
Okay.
It's got, MESA is a table anyway, right?
But MESA,
MESA. There's actually
MESA is table in Spanish.
Within the MESA study, there's a table which is a way, it's a calculator.
It's a calculator.
There's a MESA calculator,
uh-huh.
and it's online, and mm-hmm. you can put in your age and certain of your characteristics,
mm-hmm.
and you can situate yourself in terms of are you above or below average for your age.
Mm.
And, you know, we could do that, but you know, we can easily just tell people to do that on their own.
Exactly.
That puts him at somewhat risk for cardiovascular disease. But hey, 84-year-olds on average are at risk for cardiovascular
That's
disease.
True.
Yeah.
But a little history here. He says, I was pre-diabetic, but I reduced my A1C from a 6 to a 5.5. Now, that's a big factor in getting a calcium score.
So it may be pre-existing plaque. Mm-hmm. that he accumulated when he wasn't as rigorous, and now he's doing the right thing.
Yes.
And the plaque may have stabilized, and he could have, die happily in bed of old age at 111.
There we go. That would be good, right, Frank? 111.
Right.
Good to shoot for. Frank has recently started taking vitamin K,
excellent,
MK7, at 320 micrograms a day, which is the new dose.
Okay.
And he was just wondering what else he could do to minimize his risk.
I would suggest chiolic aged garlic extract.
Yes.
Chiolic Reserve gives you 600 milligrams per capsule. I would do two capsules twice daily.
Mm.
That's
mm-hmm.
very helpful for plaque stabilization and regression.
Mm-hmm.
Resveratrol is a candidate. Olive leaf extract is a candidate. Fish oil is a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, we could probably reel off a dozen things. Even lycopene has benefits.
Yeah.
EGCG from green tea,
mm-hmm.
and on and on.
Yeah. That would be it, Frank. Frank was urged to take Crestor, but has declined.
That is an absurd thing to do.
Hmm.
Because there's... Declining
of the Crestor
urged to take it.
Uh-huh.
Because there's very little evidence that there's an advantage in asymptomatic 80-plus individuals that confers any benefit whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, it may be worse for somebody, especially at that age, in terms of you need your cholesterol.
Right. For brain.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Most important for him, I think, maybe was his blood sugar, reducing it from a 6. You and I might almost call that type 2 diabetes at a 6.
Right.
So that's absolutely something. Frank, you're on the right track.
Right.
Best of luck to you. Be well.
And it's great because... I mean, this is precisely the kind of person that this kind of information that we give out could have a profound impact on, because he's already demonstrated that he's got some propensity to cardiovascular disease, but he's at a point where it's a fork in the road. He could either go down that fork in the road that takes you to bypass surgery and mm-hmm. you know, multiple medications and decline versus a healthy lifestyle, take a few supplements and, you know, you'll be fine.
Yeah. And he should stay on that low-carb diet, keep that A1C low.
Yeah.
That's very, very important.
Yeah.
Because people with a higher blood sugar will move faster to coronary artery disease,
mm-hmm.
as we're actually seeing in this case.
So here's the other thing is this guy's already shown a propensity to diabetes. You know what happens when people take statins?
Hmm.
Their hemoglobin A1C goes up.
Yes.
Especially in women. But a little bit less of an effect in men, but... You know, do we want that? Because let's say we do control this guy's cholesterol and bring it way down, but his blood sugar goes up a little bit. That's not good for the brain.
No.
You know,
no.
And at 84, your most vulnerable organ is the brain.
Yeah.
You know, because the incidence of Alzheimer's disease at 84 is extremely high. Like
much higher than at 65.
Moderately high.
Absolutely.
Double digits. It almost becomes more routine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. We have an email from Valerie. In a podcast a few weeks ago, Dr. Hoffman told a caller that no amount of cadmium is acceptable.
Oh, I love this question. Go ahead. Yeah.
But I read, I think from Consumer Labs, that all chocolate contains cadmium. I follow a low-carb, mostly organic diet. I eat a small amount of 77% to 85% organic dark chocolate daily. I love chocolate. I don't think I could give it up. Do I need to?
Well, I mean, the chocolate counteracts the adverse effects of the cadmium.
There we go.
Problem
solved.
I think what I was referring to is that if a supplement purports to have tiny amounts of all the minerals that we need, like rubidium and, you know, esoteric things and cesium, and it has a little bit of cadmium because maybe the body needs some cadmium. That's, I think, a false representation. But, you know, obviously the environment has these things. Plants bioaccumulate certain things.
Yes.
Rice bioaccumulates arsenic.
Yes.
So these are natural things that are in the earth. The earth is composed of elements, and the plants assimilate things from the soil. And certain plants are bioaccumulators. Now, I guess the cocoa plant is a bioaccumulator of cadmium. Hopefully, mm-hmm. you know, your cocoa field is not located over a Superfund site. Probably not, because you know, these are the jungle, you know, the equatorial areas of the world, you know, where maybe there wasn't like a previous... you know, battery factory or something.
Yes.
So anyway.
Another source of cadmium is tobacco.
Yeah, okay.
Cigarette smoke. Yeah. So that's another, yeah.
Yeah, so I would say that it's okay.
It's okay, Valerie.
Yeah. And by the way, if it's a problem,
yeah,
I am doomed. Because I could, now I've got this new chocolate, which is,
yeah,
I did the 100%. Mm-hmm. That was a little rough.
Ah, that's, you know, very bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had 92, and that's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
And I got some 95 from Thrive Market. They make a 95% cocoa for hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And it's an acquired taste. You know, it's like that first sip of coffee when you're a kid, it's like, ugh. But then you get used to it. And then that first sip of beer, it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 11 years old and your dad hands you his beer and you see her try this, it's like, ugh. But it's an acquired taste.
Right.
And eventually you can get used to that high test.
Yeah.
95%.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you still want a lot of extraneous sugar.
Exactly. Exactly. So enjoy your organic dark chocolate, Valerie.
Do we have time for a quick question?
Is
there such a thing?
We don't have a quick one.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say we have a quick one.
Okay.
So I think we're going to
wait
till next time.
We'll wait till next time. We'll save your questions. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. And we thank you for your support. We encourage you to check out all our postings. Layla records podcasts, as do I. And subscribe to our newsletter. We both write for our newsletter. Hopefully, what's your newsletter article this week?
Oh, this week, actually, it is about palpitations.
Palpitations.
What's causing my palpitations?
Oh, great. That's very topical. And mine is about a Consumer Reports article that states, it talks about the 15 supplements to never take, and it includes green tea extract, with which EGCG is a representative. And says, never take it. And I talk about that, and I give you, I think, what I consider the a balanced perspective on that.
Yes, please.
That assertion, which is a very highly biased and scientifically inaccurate assertion.
Mm-hmm.
So read about it in our newsletter. Follow us. Also, check out FullScript for your supplement needs. That's a great way to help support this broadcast and as well as to help support your health. So drhoffman.com, click on the store, drop down menu, we'll take you to FullScript and you can sign up and access literally thousands of supplements that are of high quality and many of the protocols that I personally put there. Thanks, Layla, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Hoffman. Thank you for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.